of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. We're going to have some fun. We're going to laugh. We're going to learn. But I'm going to tell you something that I didn't tell our guests backstage. There are two shows you don't want to be on. That's my Monday show and my Friday show. Monday, I've had way too much sleep. Friday, I haven't had enough sleep, so only the good Lord knows what I'm going to say and how this conversation is going to go, but I know it's going to be fun, and I know it's going to be interesting. So this is the part where you go out and you share the show with your friends, because we're going to learn so much information, and maybe they're just starting on their entrepreneurial journey. Maybe they want to start on that journey. They're still at their job. They want to stop. Or maybe they've been in business for 5 years, but they plateau and they don't know what to do next. That's why we sit down with the experts to provide the information that can change their lives. But it won't change their life unless you go ahead and share the show. Because as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and sharing the show with your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Ms. Tam Luck. Tam is a number one international best-selling author and founder of Women with Vision International, who shares the triumphs, stress, and struggles of balancing her life to help women grow their business. After 20 years as a business entrepreneur, she helps women leverage their message and create the lifestyle they want through her own unique book, Messaging Strategies. Good morning, Tam. How are you?
I am so good. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you for being here. So tell our audience, who are you, what do you do, and what are you passionate about?
Thank you. Well, you know, I've been an entrepreneur, like you said, for 20 years, over 20 years. And I started off as the child of two entrepreneurs. And we're from Ohio. So you just imagine two Black in the middle of the United States, people, no degrees. And somehow they figured out how to make six figures in the 80s and 90s. I watched that and I thought, wow, that is amazing. Not only that, they were home with us and they were able to travel quite a bit. So as a young person, I always knew entrepreneurship was the way I wanted to go. I went to college, for marketing. Next thing I knew, I was working in corporate America. So 17 of those years, I was a side hustling entrepreneur for a long time. I went through a lot of ups and downs, you know, through marriages, through all kinds of stuff, to finally now have a successful business. So I really focus on women because I feel like if I help women, I help families, I help the universe, I help everything, right? So I really focus on women, trying to help them to not give up, to not let go of a dream, to focus on their family if they want one, to focus on the freedom if they're looking for that, and really try to help them to be successful in their business. So my mission is to help super women soar. And so that's what I do now. Right now, though, when the pandemic hit, 2020, because I had experienced some ups and downs in my life, you know, and I knew, back in 2008, I had a lot of properties and, oh my gosh, it's a whole story. So I lost a lot and I felt like, you know, like a lot of us did in 2008 when the economy shifted. So when 2020 hit, I felt the same kind of thing was happening around me, not to me, but I could see it. So what I did is I realized back then in 2008, what I really needed was a girl talk. Okay. I needed a girl talk. I needed someone to say, come on now, girl, come on. You can do this. This is what I needed. Right. And so I thought in 2020, I saw this woman on the news and she was screaming at the journalist. She's like, I have to go to work. And she was so excited. She was so upset. You know, I have to get my kids. And then I wanted to tell her, come on now, girl, you can do this. You know, you have done amazing things in your life. And so has other women. You can do this. And so because of that, I started something called Women Who Boss Up. So this is a series of books that I've had, Women Who Boss Up. This is the first one. This was this is the second one. This is the third one. This all happened last year, right? We are now on the fifth book. And I have eight more open. My goal is to do 200 titles. and really is a continuous girl talk. So 16 authors in each book, they're speaking about their triumphs and their ups and downs and things that they're going through. And then we combine that with a lot of PR, because I have a background in PR, marketing, media. So I really help to push them out. And the whole point of this book, this is Asian Women Who Boss Up. The only point of this book is so that they can have visibility and they can start getting some clients and leads to their business. So we do a lot of stuff with that. And during the now, because Stop the Hate, right, is going on with Asian women, this became a pivotal thing, because this is the very first time in the United States that we've ever had Asian women on the cover of a book like this. So this is such a big deal, and I'm really excited about it. So that's what I'm passionate about now. And I'm excited for us to get to know what everybody else is doing as well.
Absolutely. We're going to find out. I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the gentleman on the call today, Mr. Mark Mason.
Mark. It's a good drummer's name.
We got to change it up. He was born in Windsor, Ontario, went to college in London. After graduation, moved to Toronto, spent almost 15 years in post-production work, and felt it ran its course. He wanted to go back to his first love, which is music, and creating music for clients. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. How are you?
I'm excited to, I just love your studio. I love, you know, watching people in their element. And I think that's interesting. I also think what's interesting about you is that we often go in one direction and then we wind up going back to that passion or that thing we just initially love to do. Like for me as a child, I was a talker. I don't know if you can tell.
But no.
You know what I mean? And now I'm a talk show host. So tell us about yourself, Mark.
Well, as you were mentioning, I was from Windsor and moved to London to go to college and went to Toronto after all the education. After about 15, 16, 17 years, it was near the 20, I felt like I started, you know, wanting to do more, because when you're a film editor and video editor and all that stuff, a lot of clients come in and they don't have music to go with their stuff to make it more emotional, more powerful, or whatever it was. So back then, especially 20 years ago, we had what most production companies had was like this library of CDs of all these songs, 30 second, 15, whatever, you know. And we would get through cutting the footage. And then the producer would say, okay, let's try picking some songs. And some of the guys would go through 60 CDs, not two, 60. Couldn't find anything, especially for any PSAs or anything that were very delicate about anything from drug abuse to spousal abuse type of thing, you know. And it's kind of hard to get really into when you're hearing jazz going, you know. It doesn't really give the impact, you know. So there were a couple times where I told my boss, look, there's a studio about two blocks away. I know the guy down there. How would if I take the footage, give me a sample of it, let me bring it there, and I'll actually compose as it's playing and start working from there. If I find something that sounds good or really hits the markers, I'll put all this stuff in. So this was like, you know, it only happened once. And then all of a sudden my boss came back to me again saying, Mark, we got a problem. Same thing over and over again. So I was doing my work of editing and stuff like that. But then on the side, I was doing my love, which really was music. Now, the only reason I'm saying that is because back when I first started to look after high school, what I wanted, back then we didn't have the internet. Well, it was just starting, but you would have to spend an entire paycheck just to get a week's worth of internet. And I think we all remember that. And, yes. So the availability of that was very limited. And on top of that, I had to see what was best. Now at the time for information, it was television production, editing, film, all that stuff. In music, even though I just lived across from Detroit, which is, you know, like one of the best places for music, but there wasn't a lot of availability, very small classes, and it was very expensive, and crossing the border from Windsor to Detroit all the time would be an absolute headache, to be honest. I don't think I could have coped with that. So I decided to go to London. But like I said, in time, while I was in Toronto, all of a sudden I started doing more for music. And so I told my boss, look, how about one day we just, I'm going to put an end to this and just do some other work, but in the same time, build my studio at the same time. So I was working on a job where my bosses were fully supportive privately of what I was doing because they have their own passion too, you know? So everything worked out fine. It took a long time to do or to get where I am because of the fact that I tried playing with bands. I tried playing with people who said they were so passionate about their work, but then it's like, where'd it go? Like, you know, it's like they just wanted to get out of the house. They didn't want to pursue it. They didn't want to take real chances. They didn't want to work on creating something that would just blow everybody's mind, you know? So I thought, well, you know, I'll fill in for bands and stuff like that for the last 5 years, 6 years, you know, and start doing little bits and pieces for people. But the problem is, you see, for me, I have, you know, the education, I've got the stuff, but that's it. There's the line right there. I'm on that road for where I want, but unfortunately I'm on the gravel. I'm not directly on the road of being able to see people, talk to people, the real people I want to. And I don't mean to make it sound bad. It's just people who want to produce something that is going to be shown one day in a theater or a documentary or radio shows or anything like that. You know, I mean, music doesn't have to be just one direction of, you know, just going to radio. It can be for live presentations, which someday we're all going to be able to enjoy one day, I'm hoping, where, you know, people who are being introduced, they have like that big buildup of music, you know, and this, you know, it's like sometimes even a speaker, it starts off like a concert, the laser lights, all that stuff. And all of a sudden, oh, there's Bill Gates just popping up out of nowhere or something, you know, or any other, you know, person who does conversations for thousands of people, you know, they like a buildup. And that's what I want to do. I want to be able to do anything that's between radio, television, any kind of media, films, you know, anything where music is used. I just want to be able to do it. But now it's talking to the right people, finding the right people who are saying, look, I'm serious. And I can say, well, so am I. What you want to do, you tell me, you show me, you tell me what you're thinking, and let's work together. I like to work with them, not just them giving me an idea and it's all mine. I like working with other people's inspirations and ideas. That's the most important thing. So that's where I am right now. I'm on that road, but there's a lot of gravel I'm traveling right now because I'm not finding the right people to talk to just yet. You know, I mean, it's had its moments here and there and little bits and pieces, and I love helping anybody. It doesn't matter, but I want to go all the way. I want to go as far as I can with this and not, you know.
Well, let's see if we can help you, Mark. Let's start that conversation. You never know who you're going to meet. I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the lovely Miss Roseanne Wiseman. She's a renowned marketing communications exec and consultant with 60 plus national and international awards. Currently children's books author of Unique, Roseanne Travels to Africa to Kiss a Giraffe. Despite disabilities and no computer anymore, she created an entire book on iPhone dictating on Siri and laying out her wildlife photography and content on the Simple Prints app. Good morning, Roseanne. How are you?
Hi, Sharifa. Thank you so much for inviting me. And Mark, I loved your background. From a branding standpoint, it tells me what you're all about. And branding is critical. So there are three things that changed the trajectory of my life and my life purpose. And they came together in 2018. The first thing, my wildlife journeys. I did three of them. The second thing, my volunteer work with children, young children at Jubilee Jumpstart. It's a bilingual infants through pre-K, and that definitely changed my life. And third, my disabilities. So I have hand wrist disabilities. My hands don't look different from anybody else's. But let me introduce my tech person who's here, Alex, also fully branded with my giraffe cup. So I have to have someone here. I cannot hold things. Imagine this during a pandemic. I cannot open boxes a la Amazon. I cannot open some carryout containers. I cannot, I no longer have a computer, etc. This was very hard solo. So the disability thing, that angle is very appropriate because yesterday was Global Accessibility Day. 1 billion people around the world have disabilities. And I can tell you from my standpoint, I never realized I had the disabilities I had until the pandemic, where everything was closed up. I had no help and I was solo. So these three things came together in 2018. The other thing I looked at is the breadcrumbs throughout my life that I thought were random choices really worked. So the jobs I selected, the people that I met from that, the friends, the volunteer work I chose, every single one of them, as I look back, had an influence on the very unexpected thing that I'm doing today. I would have been the last person anybody would have thought of to develop a children's book. And here's how that came about. I left a full-time job in 2010. I was a marketing communications exec. My mom was in hospice in Cleveland. I bought my first iPhone, an iPhone 3. I went to Cleveland. I went to the Apple store, had them set it up. And Apple had set up everything for me because I could not do it with my hands. I can use just the corner of this thumb. And sometimes it turns purple from overuse. I cannot use my fingers, they go numb. The wildlife situation was something I wanted to go to Borneo or Sumatra to see orangutans. Ever since Discovery was my client and they took me to the National Zoo and they shared with me Think Tank, I saw there that we were lied to. That man put like this was the only one that could use tools. That's what distinguished us from animals. I saw orangutans use tools. And this was 20 years ago when we were not told that. So I, for 20 years, wanted to go to Borneo or Sumatra. And I had the most extraordinary experience you could imagine. I traveled with the world's leading primatologist on orangutans, and it was like traveling with Jane Goodall if you wanted to learn about chimpanzees, or the late Diane Fossey if you wanted to learn about gorillas. I saw how similar they were to us. I saw orangutan toddlers. The first thing they did was they took my water bottle. And they didn't have to worry about the, you know, opening with that. They just chomped it, poured the water all over themselves, drank it, et cetera. Then they grabbed my umbrella. Like toddlers, they opened it, they turned it inside out, they tossed it from one to another. So I saw the playfulness of toddlers. Then I also saw jealousy. So there was a female orangutan. It was the diva of Camp Leaky. So the person that I followed was one of three Leaky people. So it was Diane Fossey, Jane Goodall, and Dr. Mary Berute Galbacast. So these were the three Leaky people. I saw jealousy. So Sisui, the diva of Camp Leaky, I sat next to her. And when I say that, you cannot sit next to a wild orangutan. These orangutans that I was with, a lot of them were human raised. So Sisui was human raised, and boy, she became a diva. So we're sitting next to each other. It was like two girlfriends talking, you know, sitting next to each other. Then she stands up, gets in my face, eye to eye, nose to nose, and I realized what was happening. Because she didn't like females, whether orangutans, females, or human females. She looked at me and I could tell what she was thinking, that I was no threat to her greater beauty. And that's in my book. But But I also saw jealousy demonstrated in another way. Sisweet was holding hands. She picked the youngest man in our group and the handsomest of the people in our group. He was in his 30s. They are holding hands, they are hugging, etc. He then goes back to his significant other, who has orangutan colored hair, interesting enough. He gets bit close to his jewels and was, you know, taken aback. And we said to the primatologist, what's going on? And she says, are you the youngest man in the group? And he said, probably. And also very handsome from Australia. She was jealous. How could he go back to someone else after being with her? So I saw, also looking in the eyes of orangutans at the Smithsonian National Zoo, I've seen the person behind that. I've seen an intellect, and they were my favorite animals, the red-haired orangutans. That's why I saw them first. So this first wildlife trip only made me want more. My next trip was to Africa. I went with a specific goal. I wanted to see a lot of elephants. Of course, I wanted to see the big five in Africa, but I wanted to see elusive leopards.
Wow. And
yes. So I am the only one on the trip, which was a Smithsonian trip, to see five elusive leopards, the only one. And I saw a female leopard first. As soon as I went into the park, I saw an elusive female leopard crossed our path. I then saw the most spectacular sight. So we were almost out of the game park in the lower Zambezi River area. And it was a rougher, more natural park.
Not it seems interesting. It seems like there was a lot going on from these different trips. What I find to be amazing about you, Roseanne, is that you started off talking about disabilities. And sometimes people with disabilities, they just go and sit at home and they feel like they don't need a life. They can't live a life because of this disability. I mean, and with your disability, you don't even have full use of your hands and you're out here traveling the world. So I just commend you and I applaud you. Tam, when you hear Roseanne speak, what are your thoughts? Because all I heard was you saying, go girl. Like that's what I would see. What are your thoughts, Tam?
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, both Roseanne and Mark, what I see is what I teach. If I teach the same thing. Like you have to figure out your thing, first of all. It's like your message. You are born with something, a purpose that you're supposed to do in this world. And no matter what you try to do, something in you is going to pull you back to it. Now, some people, they just ignore it. They stay in their 9-to-5. They're scared of making that jump. You know, like Mark was talking about some of his people he worked with who had they had other things on the side. They were doing their passion, but they just weren't willing to work it, right? They weren't willing to jump, right? They weren't willing to take the risk to do it. Roseanne, she could have easily sat back and said, you know what? You know, I have a disability. I have all the excuses in the world to not do these things. I have all the reasons to feel sorry for myself, but she didn't. Something was pulling her. Her purpose was pulling her forth. And when you go for those things, I would say, go girl, do your thing. Same thing with Mark. This kind of stuff is very inspiring to people. And the scariest part, and Mark could probably attest to this, and probably Roseanne as well, is jumping. There's a line, there's a gravel, there's a line be right before the road. And the scariest part is to jump. There was a video done by Steve Harvey a couple years ago. And he said, you must jump. You know, you must jump. And he said, yeah, sometimes you know, and of course you might get scraped up a little bit coming down, but just believe that parachute's going to open. And a lot of it has to do with believing yourself. So yeah, I would say, you go, girl, keep pushing forward, keep inspiring people. And then we all can find our own thing by watching other people find their thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mark, what are your thoughts on taking that leap?
It was in the very beginning, just taking a leap just to go to college was scary. You know, I mean, you're leaving Windsor, you're leaving your home, you're leaving everything.
Yeah.
I was basically going solo. So I think maybe that's the best part, was the fact that at a very young age, I got over that first fear, as opposed to people who are like in their late 20s, 30s, 40s. I had the opportunity of knowing what it's like to be scared as hell in the very beginning. And not a lot of money on, you know, just like a typical, most typical college student, starving and, you know, ramen noodles all the way, whatever, you know. And it's when I listen to Tam and Roseanne, I think we all three share the same thing, that at some point of our lives, somebody took the carpet right underneath our feet and made us fall down hard, really hard. But the best part was, for all three of us, and you know, for you, Sharifa, you know, you've had your ups and downs too, you know, you've had it all too. For a good portion of us, we learn just to get up, because the day you stop is the day you can't breathe anymore. When you're gone, that's when you stop. But before that, you keep going. And somebody told me one time that, you know, it's just sometimes you don't get mad, you get angry. That's, you don't get mad and get even, you get angry. You get like, I'm going to get it there no matter what it takes. And the problem is you go through life with a lot of people who are negative. And the one thing you try to avoid, and I'm trying to, is avoid that negativity coming into me, because then I redistribute it. And it's difficult, because in the jobs where I work, after I left the television and film production work, doing, you know, moonlight jobs just to keep everything afloat and build everything, you see, like even Tam explained, you know, there are people who are just in their 9 to 5, and for lack of a better way of putting it, they're zombies. They just get in the car, go to work, do their work, like, you know, get in their car, go home, sit in their comfy chair, turn on the news after supper, and go to bed. And then 25 years later, they start talking, saying, I wish, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Now, me, I'm in my 40s, but I don't care. They say, apparently, when you're, here's something, I won't say what company. What's that?
I said, that's young for me.
Well, what happened was that, you see, in the beginning, before I decided to get a public relations person and whatnot, I decided to go to Toronto to try to apply to studios, you know, see if I can start off, you know. And one in particular, which really upset me, I couldn't believe it, this person was willing to represent the Canadian music industry, said, well, we don't like to hire people over 40 because it's bad for our image. Excuse me? And they said, well, we feel that our audience and our producers don't, and I'll never forget this, our producers don't want to work with people who are too old, because they're very much in their own thing. I'm like, and this is a person who's high up telling me this. And I'm like, so are you revealing to me this is what the Canadian music industry is all about? I hope not. Because let's see, you're saying that after you're 40, you can't perform music, huh? Okay, Alice Cooper, David Gilmour, the members of Queen, you know, like, let's go back in time of people who are now in their 70s who are doing a phenomenal job. You know,
absolutely. When you started to say about people in your 40s, I was like on edge, because I just turned 45 in March, and I tell people this is the most free I've ever been in my life, just being free to be me, and whatever I do, whatever I say, however I feel, I'm a lot more okay with it than I've ever been in my life.
And make your mistakes in your 20s and 30s, because then after you're in your 40s and 50s and 60s, you damn well want to make sure you've done it all right, so you got something at the end.
Yes.
The first 20 years to me is a spit in the bucket.
Yes.
It's the next 30 years, 40 years, that's going to be where you're going to be. Yes. What have you attempted? You know?
Yes, I agree. Roseanne, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with much of that. But I'm older. So I never expected a new career at this point in life. Mm-hmm. And it was taking chance and doing something I didn't think I could do because the little kids were counting on me. So what happened, I came back from a trip to adopt a baby orphaned elephant and to kiss a giraffe. And Miss Didi from the head of the school where I volunteered comes up to me at the door my first day back. She has pictures of me and pictures of the animals. And she said, so I was thinking that you could do a book for the children of your three wildlife trips with your photos. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's going to be interesting. How can I possibly do that? So I never told them that I didn't have, you know, that I had this disability. They already knew. I had back boo-boos, the kids knew, and I had a knee brace. So I had no reason to tell them about the rest. But she had already told the children I was going to do this book. They were so excited. First of all, they were excited before I did the trip. I figured they were counting on me. So ultimately, this came out of that. I did this totally dictated on Siri, as Sharifa had said earlier, laid out in the Simple Prints app. I tried to think of a way not to disappoint them. My book consultant started out as 2.5 to 3.5. It was a year-long process. And so I never, ever, ever dreamed of being a children's book author, photographer. I did see myself as having written the bestseller, but once I was told I had to go off the computer totally or I would be fully, fully disabled, which is about 5 years ago, I thought those dreams are over and that I would not be an author because I had no computer, et cetera. I had a computer with voice recognition software. So now I'm all about branding. As many of you mentioned, I am in the full leopard at this point.
I gotta get an outfit like that. Where you pick that up? Amazon?
Nope.
I'd like a car interior like that.
I know.
When I traveled to Africa and I told them that today, and I love the umbrella.
And the hat. I see the hat too.
Today, this is actually a cheetah.
Okay.
But most people don't know the difference.
I can't see the top.
When I told the driver and the spotter, I said, today we're going to see leopards. They tried to dissuade me. But we went in different cars, etc. We saw 2 leopard cubs with a mother after the one I told you about. You don't understand how rare that is. The spotter and the driver who had worked in Africa 10 years apiece in different parts of Africa had never before seen a leopard cub. So I wore my leopard scarf, a friend of mine's scarf actually, for luck. I had leopard print underwear. I had other leopards, you know, and I said, but today we're going to see leopards. And that day was the day I saw 5 leopards. Nobody else in the group because we changed cars. And then the other thing all about branding is then I went full giraffe. But during a pandemic, you know, I started my new career in November, basically, of 2019. What happened in 2020? So I sold the books myself. I could not be anywhere. Everything was canceled. So I had to, for my own sanity, I had to surround myself with leopard. I have a leopard book cover mug. I'm sorry, a giraffe book cover mug, giraffe book cover mask. Someone gave me giraffe ears. I do that when I appear in classrooms. You know, so I've got the full giraffe and the full.
I'm ready to go shopping. I see some things I like on that tray. I like that water bottle. I've been watching that water bottle the entire show.
This was given to me by one of the teachers at Jubilee Jumpstart. We had brunch recently, and I was in this mask wearing my glasses, which they're really used to me because I can't. I need reading glasses when I'm reading. So here I am. in my giraffe holding this. Does this look like the perfect present for me? So this was the best teacher at Jubilee Jumpstart Mary.
Wow, and I love it. I love it.
I think it's important to surround yourself. I had nobody. I was in solo quarantine with no help. It was hard. I think it's important to surround yourself with what you need to remember what your purpose is now.
Absolutely.
My purpose is to change the world, of course. I have a big purpose. We can talk about that later. But let me turn it over to our other wonderful guests, Sharifa.
Absolutely. I'm enjoying the conversation. We're talking about purpose. So we're going to go over to Mark. One of the things that stood out to you when you were talking about the people, and sometimes they have the passion and then it's fizzle, nothing. Right. But I have seen, being in California, being in LA County, being, you know, I'm in Long Beach, I've worked in entertainment for years, and I have seen some of the most talented people are unemployed. And I think a part of that reason is not just because their passion fizzles out. They have to choose between, okay, do I leave my job as a waiter? Or do I follow my passion? And sometimes for different reasons, maybe, you know, they have to stay at this job because they're responsible for other people. They have to stay at this job because maybe it's connected to their healthcare. They have the talent, but they're so often afraid to take that step. Do you see that as well, Mark?
I see that problem definitely, but also I know the way to possibly fix that. I know, even though I don't have the education behind us, but when you really think about it, everybody says, come to New York, come to California, come to Toronto for your dreams, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That might have been in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, in the glamour years of Hollywood and New York, whatever. But it's so oversaturated. Too many people in too many spots. There's other places in Canada, United States, England, Germany. I mean, the list goes on. People say you have to make a movie only in New York or California. And that's the way it was up until 1968, when a director who used to do only commercials, TV shows, decided to say, hey guys, let's make a horror movie. And in 1968, one of the greatest films, cult films ever made, was shot, edited, in Pittsburgh.
Was that the Amityville Horror?
Nope. George A. Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
Oh,
in 1968.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That was the first. Well, the funny thing is, George Romero was actually buried in Toronto. He died in Canada here. He died in Toronto. So hopefully for next month, I want to go visit his grave. He was one of my inspirations for saying you don't need $1 billion to make a $1 billion movie. You need the education, you need love to do it. You need, the money helps to get the film and everything, but you need that kind of thing to make something happen. So I think for a lot of people, they get discouraged when they're in big, you know, cities like California, Toronto, New York, you know, let's just use those three for now. But because it's oversaturated with so many people, there's other places where you can do things. I mean, in Cambridge, here in Cambridge, Ontario, they shot films. They didn't do it in Toronto. They might have the offices there, but they employed people in Cambridge, Ontario to do the Handmaiden's Tale, I think it is, or something like that. It's on, I don't know if it's on Netflix or Crave, I think, Crave in Canada here. But they do movies and TV shows all over the place. You don't have to concentrate just on the big places, because you think if you got the name Hollywood behind you, you know, then that's it. Well, it's a nice little icing on the cake, but there's a lot in between that. And I think for people, they shouldn't give up. They should just, if possible, try to relocate and not rely just on the big studios, because that's a thing of the past now. People who have a cell phone can make a movie.
I agree.
The technology. I have the technology behind me to do the music and a film if I want. You know, you can't get the love of film editing out of your blood. It's in there permanently. But
I agree. If I could interject, I think what the pandemic has showed is we can be anywhere and work.
Yeah.
That
definitely
has been very defining out of this pandemic. We can work different places. We can work in areas that suit us better.
Yeah. And for like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. I just want to say, I also think that people have to redefine who they think they are and become a creative. Sometimes what we do is we just kind of pigeonhole ourselves into a little thing. And I get that. If you're a musician, you're a musician. If you're a theater person, you're, you know, if you're an actor, but you also have to put on creator. Because what happens is if you just put yourself as a musician, then what you're doing is waiting for a job.
Yeah.
Okay. Or if you're an actor, you're waiting for someone to hire you. That's a 9-to-5, right? It's still a great 9-to-5. It's still a great job, but it is a job. So I think if people put on the try on the clothes of creative, okay, you can go to Cincinnati, Ohio, where I'm from, and find other creatives and bust out a beautiful thing. And we have so much social media these days that you really can create anything that you want. And like you said, Roseanne, do it anywhere. You don't have to be in a specific place anymore. That's just non-existent. Pandemic has taught us all that.
And Tammy, you came up with a good point about just not just being a musician or actor, but to say composer, creator. I have to get used to using the word composer, because to me, it's such a high, to me, it's just a high word to use, you know. But in essence, that's what I'm doing. Whenever I'm touching any of these things, I'm composing, I'm creating. So thanks for actually reminding me to start using that in anything I do, especially in any web work.
Yeah, Mark, and what you could do is, like I said, if you put on that creator hat, you're like, wait a minute, if I'm a creator and all I need to do is have a channel, because that's what Hollywood provides us, as a channel, right?
Yeah.
When you're thinking about marketing and PR, then all of a sudden you think, wait a minute, it has been leveled. We have YouTube as a channel. We have Facebook as a channel. We have all these ways to channel things. Yeah. And then you say, okay, then if I want it to be really big, first of all, I start like where I'm at the channel that I have, and then pitch yourself into something else. Yeah. Pitch yourself onto whatever other show that you want, because you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what's changing is the technology. You know, some of the things that, you know, I definitely agree with what Mark was saying, but over time, more people are producing all over the world. And I say the same thing. People are creating some amazing shows from their iPhones, and they are using these shows to enter all these different, you know, movie events and get them out there, but they were produced on an iPhone. And so many people take pride in the fact that I have produced this on an iPhone. So it's about the story. It's about the content. And I think that's sometimes what we forget. Tam, I wanted to talk to you though, just listening to Mark and listening to Roseanne, that to me is inspiration for other people. I love to hear the stories, because people come to me all the time with excuses. And I'm like, okay, well, let me show you Roseanne. Like, if you want to make, let me show you Roseanne. Do you ever feel that when you're working with people?
Oh my gosh, yes. Go ahead, Roseanne.
If you were talking to me, absolutely. Let me tell you what I started the pandemic with. In many ways, I was prepared in terms of doing gratefulness. In 2019, I did gratefulness every minute of the day for things that were important to me, not just a one-time thing a day. So I was prepared in terms of gratitude. I knew what I loved in life. I knew what I would miss if I didn't have it. This is how I started the pandemic. I have an 18-year-old phone held together by rubber bands. I don't know if you could see it. This is an old—
I can see the rubber bands.
The rubber bands. I have this only for medical reasons, and I'll probably be losing service on this. This is what I started the pandemic with that, because it fit in my hand, and an iPhone that had to be recharged 4 times a day. I had no computer, I had no iPad, in a Zoom age. And I had to manifest help, because there was no help for someone. You know, I could not deal with the accessibility offices because they want to talk you through something. I couldn't use my fingers to be talked through anything. I had nothing. I had to manifest a tech person. That took some doing. Met Alex. This was a long way to that, but there was no way I could have continued operating. I actually had another Facebook Live scheduled for August of last year. I had to have an iPad Pro. I had to have it set up. I had to have a new iPhone. I had to manifest a tech person to do it. The tech person calls me that week that we're supposed to get together. She said, I have COVID, I have to cancel. And things happen in very weird ways. And out of this, I got Alex manifested through Facebook on Jessica Ortner's Manifest Mondays. I was doing that every single week for my trip to Africa. And I want to turn this over to everybody else. I don't mean to hog it. But it's
not good. It's almost 300 episodes. I got this down. I got to control the flow, but I would love to hear Tam's thoughts.
Yeah, I one of the things I do is I'm a collector of stories. And I try to, and you could, because the best way to tell someone, I've always been one of these people that like loves, I love to coach, I love to help, I love to share, I love all these things. But I found over the years, people don't always appreciate your coaching. And if they don't give you permission to coach, you can't, right? So it's so much easier to share other people's stories. Because sometimes if you share a story, you know, you say, oh, you know what? I know this lady. Somebody says, tells you something. Well, I don't think I could do it. I don't think this is possible. I just found out I have a disability. Well, you know, I met this lady. She was really cool. Her name was Roseanne. And, you know, she had an amazing career. Then all of a sudden she found out she has this disability. She went to Africa several times and she ended up starting a whole nother career later in life, you know, started, wrote all these children's books. I think, you know, if she could do it, you could do it. Right. So if I start doing, if you collect stories, you can really help people. And so I become a collector of stories. I love listening to what people gone through. I have a podcast and that's like, oh my gosh, like the best thing I ever did in my life because I also like to talk. And so, yeah, I think that's it. Cause people, everybody gets to their
part. What is your podcast
about? Yeah, it's called, Women with Vision. And so it's really, I talk
mostly to
women.
I would love to be a guest.
Yes. I would love to have you. I just got 5,000 downloads. Well, we're actually at 5,100 now, but, yeah, it's very exciting.
That's awesome.
And I don't just interview women, by the way, Mark. I focus a lot of my thing on women because I know if I focus on women, I can help the families, right? I can help the kids. I can help the planet because women are caregivers. And so that's true. Focus a lot on women. But I do have men on because men, my husband is a big supporter, big, huge support, you know, and there's men like that. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I love to do. Just get everybody, because we all have down times. I told you about mine. I had many. 2008, I was laying on somebody's couch and I didn't think I could take care of myself. Before that, I was owning 5 properties. You know, I thought I could do anything. And next thing I knew, I was just down and in the dumps and didn't figure out I didn't think I can do it. And now, so everybody has those times. You could be a brilliant person and have those times. So we get to help each other. That's basically what it is.
Yeah. And we're all proof that if we can do it, everybody can do it. But the problem is not everybody is going to be able to have it easier to get out of whatever hole they're in. You guys have shown to me, you know, we're all of us are the same.
Yeah.
We all have our variations of ups and downs. And sometimes at a point where, like the old saying is, the only way to go from down is up. Now, the problem is you're going to meet a lot of people who are going to try to throw manure in your path.
Of course.
Either it's just timing or because they don't want to see you survive. They don't want to see you become better than them. But there's nothing wrong with wanting to be the best, not to show up anyone else, but just to be the best for you. So then one day when it's time to leave this earth, you say, I did it.
Yeah.
I did it all. I did what I could. And that's all that matters. I mean, just like for you guys and for me, we want to be able to fulfill that one final dream. And, you know, they say it's such a cliche, but to me, that dream can always become reality. The problem is it ain't easy, but you try to find a way to get through it. Like with you, Roseanne, the problems with your hands did not stop you. It's like, okay, it's one setback, but I'm still breathing. I can still do some things. Let's see what we can work with. And for you, Tam, you know, how you've went through sleeping on a person's couch. I still remember one day, 10 years ago, almost this summer, where I was fearing living in my car because I lost everything, lost all money, lost everything. Because why? Like many of us, we got into debt and we weren't careful.
Yeah.
So we change things. And it's always, it, change is always going on. It's never going to stop. You're never going to be in that place where you want to just yet, but you will get there. The problem is you're going to have, it's not a smooth road. And it's taken a long time for me to understand that. Same with what I want to do here. Once you do reach that road, once you reach that smooth road, then you can look back and say, man, it was worth it, because you're grateful for everything you have. It just wasn't thrown on you. You're grateful.
Oh, I think that was so beautiful. And you look back and you're like, wow, I did that. I overcame that. I'm still going. I'm still here. And it's just beautiful. And it's so much pride. You know, it makes it, you feel better when it, that road wasn't that easy, because you, now you know you can overcome challenges and that you will overcome challenges. And the way you respond to those challenges gets so much easier and better, because you're like, yeah, I know that's a mountain, but I've already climbed those 15 mountains. So I know I can climb this mountain. So I believe those were beautiful, beautiful, amazing words. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Roseanne.
Well, you never know who or what is going to be the inspiration for you. I discovered my inspiration was a little child who picked me as her person at 5 months old.
Aww.
I was her person for the entire 3 years that she was a Jubilee Jumpstart. She was my book consultant from age 2.5 to 3.5. And yes, it did take a long time, but it was tested and tested again. And I was feeling so down during last year, the pandemic, as Thanksgiving was coming. And it was our best family holiday. It was the last time I had seen my friends. I got a video from her father. I had not seen this child since her 4th birthday last year in February. And her father had told me she didn't remember the last year she was at school. And I figured she forgot me totally. The video, I never could have gotten anything, imagined any inspiration better than this. She starts on the video and she talks about something that happened when she was 2 years old. And I was involved, and it was a pivotal moment of her life. And then she said to the video, Roseanne, you have been my best friend since before I remember. And I love you since before I remember. Tears were streaming down my face. I was so grateful for this child. I missed her terribly. But that I had that impact on a child was enough to keep me going.
Can't just end like that. We need something else. Where can we find you? Where can you pick up the book? Where can we get this water bottle? That's my, okay. That's reserved. That's my water bottle.
I don't know about the water bottle, but the book is available all over. It's got good reviews from people. I tested it with children 2 to 9. I had tested it with teachers in this process. I was very careful with this. Some librarians had looked at this. It's for sale. It's Roseanne Travels to Africa to Kiss a Giraffe.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
That's Roseanne with a Z. And if you just can't remember the name of the whole book, and if you just Google Roseanne Kiss Giraffe, it'll come up. So it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble online. You can probably find it at indie bookstores, you know, and I could use the sales, because we've gone through a pandemic where everything was canceled, everything I had worked so hard for. And we're just coming out, and I am now visible again, but it's been a long haul.
Okay, well, let's get those book sales up. Thank you. Mark, what do you have for us?
Well, Sharifa, I just wanted to say thank you to all of you for allowing me the opportunity to be on here. It was fun. I enjoyed every moment of it. I enjoyed listening to you, Tim and Roseanne. And it's true, just like with anyone else who's watching, everybody goes through their hellhole, but the idea is to try to find a way to build a stairwell to get out of it. It's not impossible, but there's a word I'd like to use, but we'll keep it clean today. But I think we all know it starts with a B, because life is that sometimes. And I guess maybe that's what keeps life interesting, because if everything was perfect, I think we'd all go crazy. But the one thing I will love to share with you one day is a long story short, that I went and recorded myself on all the instruments. Now doing what I'm doing the final mix to it, but it's more raw and off the floor, not too much special effects onto it. I want to keep it kind of raw, but it's basically an editing of me doing all the instruments, cutting from one to the other, widescreen, multi-screen, one screen, you know, just keeping it interesting, not just leaving it neutral to one where you got six different windows going. I don't like that. To me, I don't. I like to have fun cutting the stuff to the shots that, like, yeah, here, here, here. So I'll send you the email when it's done, so you can see it down the road. It'll be on my YouTube channel.
I want you to come back. You got to come back. Well, you can't just send it. We might have some questions. We want to applaud you and congratulate you in person.
So we want to do that, Mark.
Yes.
I've done a couple before, but they were covers. I don't want to do covers anymore, because if I put it on YouTube or anything like that, I want people to view it because it's me, not because I put a name of somebody else. To me, I don't like that. I think it's cheating, because I can't say, hey, look, I got a million hits, but it's because I used somebody's name on it. I want people to be able to see it for me on my turf. And
I want to see it because it's you. That's why I want to see it. So I don't even know. I have absolutely no idea what your music sounds like, what genre, but because it's you, I resonate with you. I want to support you. Come back. I want to hear it. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome. Tim, what do you have for us?
Well, I just have to say that, you know, we are going through coming on the other end of a pandemic. And I think it's a great opportunity for all of us to really see how we want to live, you know, what we really want to do. And also notice the weaknesses in our lifestyle, you know, some of the vulnerabilities that we may not have been aware of that came about. 2.2 million US women lost their jobs in 2020. 140,000 people lost their job in December of 2020, and 100% of them were women. It showed us a lot of vulnerability that we had. I always saw that vulnerability. I always saw it. That's why I was working so hard to get out of my job and get really successful in my business, because I saw I was vulnerable. Somebody didn't like me, it could get rid of me. If it was downsizing, it was really vulnerable for us. So I think the pandemic, although we've had different experiences, you know, some people have had some loss, some people have had some, you know, sicknesses and things like that. But I think we should take this opportunity to really figure it out, to give us that little push that we need to jump, that we were talking about with Mark, to, you know, maybe we've been playing around with the thing on all this time, and we finally, now we say, you know, it's time. You lost your job, it's time. You know, I have no other reason, it's time. You know, so I think that's what it is. If you need some inspiration, you can go to Amazon. I have Women Who Boss Up. I have four different books out right now on Amazon. Women Who Boss Up in Life, Health, and Business. Beautiful stories of women, 16 of them. Women Who Boss Up in Health, Wellness, and Lifestyle. Asian Women Who Boss Up. International Women of Color Who Boss Up. The next book that we're working on right now is Moms and Side Hustlers Who Boss Up. Black Women in Leadership. There's so many coming out. And then we also have another book that we're working on, Women Who Boss Up Post-Pandemic. Oh my goodness, right? So I just want to encourage everyone to keep your head up, keep holding on to each, keep helping each other. And I look forward to meeting all of you at some other point.
Thank you. It has been a pleasure. So if you need any more stories, I can add to the Women Who Boss Up. Roseanne's over there raising her hands. If you're looking for some women who boss up, send us a message. We'd definitely love to contribute to what you were doing. And with your Asian women who boss up, I believe I had one of the young ladies in the book talking about the book about 2-3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
can't remember her name, but she was here talking about the book as well. So it's wonderful promotion for everyone. So I just want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. We appreciate your support, but I always ask that you don't just watch the show and you don't just share the show. Support our guests. Our guests were here this morning to help you, to provide you with their stories, their information, their resources, and their advice. So please support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.